You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service. Find us on the web at aboriginalpress.blogspot.com. Welcome to Aboriginal Press News Service Public Radio. You are now listening to an exclusive, first-person Occupy Wall Street report from APNS special correspondent Alyssa Eisenberg. Follow her on Twitter at Alyssa011968.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio,
Internet Radio for Smart Aboriginals.
I am at Occupy Oakland. This is my second time here. It's October 12th, and there are about 100 tents here. I was here for the opening rally on October 10th, and I included some conversations I had with a couple of people about why they are here, because the mainstream media is part of the top 1%, or at least they're controlled by them, you know, just like our politicians are controlled by them. So this movement, we're going to, you know, give the people a voice, and it's exciting, and people are dedicated. I mean, really, 100 people are sleeping here, you know, and then you can tell by the way it's set up, they don't plan on going anywhere until there's some real structural change. We're not talking about, like, little minor things, you know, we're talking about changes to the way the system is. The
past few years in this country, and I don't see that Obama is pursuing any kind of path that's going to bail us out. And so I'd like to add my voice and my presence to whatever might change things.
What do you think about what they, how the media has been covering it and their criticism that there is no solution or no people don't know what they want? Can you respond to that?
Well, I think the media historically underestimates any kind of protest movement, both in terms of the numbers behind it and also the ideology. But I do have to agree that this is a very new movement, and while the diversity is kind of refreshing, the reality is that until we have a political program in place, we probably won't have any change, and it's at the point where you start tackling specifics of a political agenda where all the good feelings may well, you know, lead to conflict and division, and, you know, okay. I have a concern about that.
Okay, and if you could say something to Obama or to the bankers, what would you say?
To Obama, I'd say you betrayed us, and I've lost hope. And to Wall Street, I'd say you're the most un-American group of people I've ever encountered.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Because we have been gentrified by the city of Oakland. If you read the paper, you know that they got rid of over 35,000 African Americans in the last 10 years. And while people sit on the council by the name of Desley Crooks, Larry Reed, Ignacio Del Fuente, Jay Corner, you are criminals, and we want you out of our city.
So I'm just asking why you're here.
Okay. My name is Jesse, and I'm here to show my support. I feel like I'm part of the 99%, both myself, and I work in low-income communities with people who are struggling to make ends meet. So I feel really strongly about a lot of the things that this movement's about. I'm really excited that this is happening. I've sort of been waiting for something like this to happen, and I'm really happy. I had someone ask me a couple minutes ago, you know, if they thought that this would make any difference, and I feel like it does make a difference. Even if the specific aims aren't met, it shows the American people's disgust. I'm 31. One thing that I feel, too, is I feel like the boomer generation kind of doesn't believe that young people today care about issues and want to get involved. They think we're, you know, all about ourselves and watching TV and, like, shallow and not invested in the community. And I think it's really important to show that that's not true. And all these ideas about, like, today's generations won't do this and won't stand up because we've been brainwashed are bullshit. It's just not true.
Yeah.
And I think it's amazing how diverse the crowd is here today.
How many people would you say there are?
This is always hard, and you know, it's always, I was talking to someone earlier, it's always about like who's counting and what their motivation is.
Good point.
I guess maybe like low thousands.
I'm at that point now too. At first I was thinking 500 or 600, but there's more people just keep coming.
Yeah. I mean, I think definitely in the low thousand numbers, it's always hard to count, but...
What do you think? You know, the media criticism is basically that there is no one message and there are no solutions. And I don't agree with that. I think that it's showing what real democracy is, and it brought the working class together, which is an amazing thing.
Yeah.
It's not a political party, and then we're talking to each other.
The 99% idea is amazing.
Yes.
Right? It's like such an amazing concept, and I feel like all of American history is about trying to divide the have-nots and making us feel like we should be fighting each other for scraps and like we're more different than we are the same. And you know what? Most people in our country are more the same than that pretty small group of people that have all the powers and are making all the decisions. So, of course they're going to, I mean, they control all the media, they control everything, so naturally the messages about this are going to be negative.
Yeah.
But I think that more people should come out to these events. You know, I've been to some anti-war protests before, but I'm not part of an anarchist or communist group. Not that there's anything wrong with being part of those groups.
Right.
But, you know, I'm working right now. I have a job. Like, I'm just a regular liberal American citizen, and, like, I feel that people should just come out and see what it's about and be open to it. And I think that the way that they're making group decisions in New York is really amazing. I like that here today they said, you know, whether we sleep here tonight or we march or we do something else, it's all powerful. And you're right. Real democracy is hard.
Yes, it is.
And people are trying it, and that's really exciting.
The other thing I think is kind of funny is that the 1% says we don't have any solutions, but basically our solution is stop robbing us.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty simple. Stop exploiting people, you know, and it's like they do it on such a broad range that it's hard to name each one, you know. So I kind of think like that.
I mean, all you have to do is look around at signs. Someone has a really brilliant sign about, like, the money that's been spent on the war.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service. aboriginalpress.blogspot.com.
This is a mortal technique. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggested George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war in which tens of thousands of civilians were killed. We are told to look upon these deaths as an exaggeration or an acceptable loss in the war on terror. But this administration has lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, and produced phony news reports. People have been imprisoned without charges and tortured, and illegal weapons used. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor for an investigation. Peace.
450,000 people have died. 10,000 more die each month from ethnic violence. 2 million more people have been displaced from their homes and have become refugees. These are the unbelievable numbers that show how bad Darfur has been since the beginning of this genocide, which started in February 2003. This is an unacceptable atrocity that is currently still going on in Darfur, which is located in the western region of Sudan in Africa. This horrible denial of human rights must be stopped. Darfur may seem too far away for anyone at Ryder to get involved with and help. But if you are interested in getting involved, Ryder has a group which deals with genocide called Ryder Stand, which meets in the Shapiro boardroom at 4:30 every Wednesday. Also, the main Stand website can be found at www.standnow.org. After the Holocaust, the world said never again to genocide. Let's live up to that promise.
You have Sam Millsap, who's a prosecutor. You have people who support the death penalty and people who are against the death penalty on the same side in a case saying this is an abomination. You cannot kill people like this, because if you kill Troy Davis, you're going to expose the system and you're going to shut it down. You know, and that's what this case is about.
Listen to Angry Indian Radio. He is not only for Indians, but he is also for blacks and other minorities. And they have done a lot on the problems in Palestine and also the problems of blacks. And so I recommend that you listen to them.
I'm so thirsty for revolution. I'm so crazy about the people. We're going to stand together. We're going to have a black army, a Mexican-American army, an alliance in solidarity, as well as the progressive whites, all of us. And we're going to march on this pig power structure, and we're going to say, stick them up, motherfucker. We come for what's ours. Power to the people. Thanks, brother.
America del Norte, broadcasting to the fourth world from within occupied North America.
Estás escuchando a los indios Angry sobre los sistemas inteligentes aborígenes radio.
Listen on the internet, angryindianradio.blogspot.com.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio.
Danny Glover is going to speak at Occupy Open now, so just take this.
Yeah. know that it's not a weekend party, a weekend party. It means that we have to be on the job 24/7. Here, who come from various social positions, who come from labor. We know what is happening in labor. 88% of the workforce is unrepresented. 88% in a modern society that's unconscionable. 88% of wage in the state of collective bargaining. All right, now that's what we're talking about. We're talking about 25% of the men and women, people who are unemployed, have been unemployed and unemployed for more than 4 years. That's what we're talking about.
Yes.
We have to find something. So it has to be more than $50. Even though we know that labor doesn't have work, but it's fighting for jobs and better wages and better conditions in the workplace.
Yes.
And all the things that it's fighting. We know that it does that. But it has to be a reimagining and a rethinking of what we mean by democracy.
down here at Occupy Oakland. I'm talking with somebody named Alex who has been here. How long have you been here?
2 days.
2 days? And what's the feel like here? I mean, how long are you guys prepared to stay?
Indefinitely.
Indefinitely?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what? Why are you here?
Me personally? Or
yeah. Both.
I'm here because I feel like we need a revolution. I believe the world needs a revolution.
Right.
In general, this is building a culture of resistance that is long overdue.
Right.
To an economic system that's tearing apart the world.
And how are you organizing? Are there, are you developing institutions that will last and that we can use to keep the policies going?
You can check out the General Assembly and how it works. The model was from the occupation of Wall Street.
Right.
It's
right.
Similar to that.
Yeah. And what's the feel like with the police down here?
The police are not well.
Yeah, good.
Quite frankly.
Yeah. And you renamed it Oscar Grant Plaza?
That's right.
I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And aptly named.
It's really diverse, I noticed, which is good. Is everybody, like dealing with issues and so that maybe when we recreate this, a better way of living, like, that people are more direct so that it's not repressed?
I mean, ideally, the people here are coming from very different outlooks,
right.
Very different ideas of what needs to happen next.
Right.
And there are points of unity around what is wrong now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of struggle that should happen in future days around what needs to happen next.
Okay. Okay. And if you could say something to Obama or bankers or anybody, just get it out. What would you say?
I have nothing to say.
Nothing?
No, nothing to say.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
I'd rather focus my time on people who are thinking about real change.
Okay.
Those people are hopeless gossips to me.
Okay, I get it. Okay, well, thank you so much. Thanks for staying here, and thanks for taking the time to do this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What's your name?
Venus.
And you were telling me how you felt about the movement.
Well, I came out here because I wanted to be in solidarity with other cities that are doing this across the nation. Like, it's time. It's time for us to gather like this. But there was a debate amongst my friends around this being a white-led movement or a privilege-led movement. But, like, I don't know. I don't think it matters what color you are. We're all struggling against this oppressive system, and we could all fight back. It really doesn't matter to me. And that's why I decided to come anyway. And I know it's a pretty, you know, everybody has to, you know, for me as a working class person, I got to work every day. You feel me? Like, I can't really be out here in a tent, you know? And so that's also a privilege to even be able to have the time to do that. But I'm here when I can be. It's the weekend. You know, I just came doing outreach to sex workers on International Boulevard, and then I had to come down here because I wanted to continue to support the movement.
Good for you. I mean, thank you. But, as you know, because this is the first, it's given me hope. But also, I think that it's important that your voice is heard and included, because if this is a new movement and we're going to do things differently, it's not going to get done differently by ignoring it. We need to, because that's kind of adding to
the
exploitation.
Like, we've been oppressed. We know why. You know what I'm saying? But are we going to sit here and be stuck on that? Or are we going to do something about it? I don't really care if you're black, yellow, green, or blue. Like, if you're down for the same movement as I'm down for, let's do it.
Right.
You know, like,
Yeah, let's do it, and let's do it with everybody's voice included.
Yeah.
You know, that's really, to me, it's really important if it's going to work.
Yeah.
So, well, you know what? Thank you.
Do yourself a favor. Get a mind transplant. Listen to independent radio, the alternative media in general. This is Ward Churchill saying have a nice day.
This is Intelligence Aboriginal Radio.
This is Gore Vidal. Can you name the one country on Earth where the government can steal elections, strip away basic rights, spy on civilians, launch wars based on lies, and where the people do not take over the nation's capital in protest? If you said the United States, you'd be right.
This is Intelligence Aboriginal Radio.
Angry Indian Radio for the Fourth World. Internet Radio for Smarter Originals.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Sisters, brothers, friends, and supporters. Well, here it is, another year, another birthday. This one makes me 62 years old. Also, this makes it my 30 plus years in prison. I believe it was right after I was illegally convicted in Fargo, North Dakota, when I wrote a statement telling everyone that my freedom would only come after the masses had demanded it. But first, we would have to unite and organize to reach them. So far, we have been unable to do so. Yes, we have reached millions who have signed my petitions. We circulated throughout the world, asking for my release. Through most of those good peoples are from Europe. But we also made a lot of gains here in the United States. At one time, we had 55 members of Congress sign a letter for a new trial or my release. 55 members is historical. No other prisoner in history has ever been able to accomplish this, nor has anyone else, individually. And there are other accomplishments we have made and won here in the United States. Still, I sit in prison, not because I am guilty of the alleged crime I was illegally convicted of, but because we are still unable to reach the masses here in America. The reasons for this is not because the American peoples do not care or want to help, but because we have been unable to reach them. Personally, I believe the majority of them do care and want to help. We sense this from the ones we are able to reach. We are moving forward very slowly in this freedom campaign of mine. The reason for this is we just do not have the financial resources to move forward at the pace we would like to be. This is the real and only reasons we have been unable to reach the peoples of the United States. Nothing is free here in America. Not justice or the media. So although there still is no light at the end of the tunnel for me or my freedom, we continue struggling forward. I continue to search for the hope and strength I need to survive. I continue to pray and hope that one day I will get the support I need from the American people. And one day I will still be able to walk out of prison. So my hopes and spirits are still high at my 62 years of age. I can tell you in this continued struggle, we are still finding bits and pieces of new evidence to file new appeals on. Those of you who have followed my case closely, I can imagine are thinking, how can this be, as there has been so many constitutional violations already? But the same old problem exists. The courts continue to cover up the criminal acts and my conviction committed by my prosecutors. Your help is still needed more than ever. Please give us all you can. Thank you. Don't be shy. In the spirit of grace, yours. Okay, we can go on if you ask. Leonard Peltier.
I'm Asada Shakur. The first time I heard a tape of one of Mamiya's radio broadcasts, It was the first time I fully understood why the United States government was so intent on putting him to death. I make a special appeal to you, sisters and brothers, to fight tooth and nail to save Mamiya's life and to free him from the grips of his oppressors. As you honor our forefathers and foremothers, I urge you to honor our living heroes. When you honor the names of Nat Turner, Harriet Tubman, and Malcolm X, I urge you to honor the names of Geronimo Gijaga, Sundiata Okoli, Mutulu Shakur, and Mumia Abu-Jamal. I urge you not to forget and not to betray our living heroes. If we ignore their struggle, we are ignoring our own. If we betray our living history, then we are betraying ourselves. We could not save Malcolm X, but we can save Mamiya. We can save him, and we must save him. Because we love our brother, and we need our brother to help us fight for freedom. Free Mumia Abu-Jamal, free all political prisoners. Let us carry on our tradition to freedom.
White society wants you to know that anti-African racial hatred is a thing of the past.
And the Democrats are throwing the election away. For what? An inadequate black male? Who would not have been running had it not been a white woman that was running for president. I'm no second-class citizen. And goddamn the Democrat.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service. Aboriginalpress.blogspot.com.